Two jerks on opposite sides of a planet.
Scott Future in Ottawa, Canada.
And Ray Larrabee in Nagoya, Japan.
We are the Future Jerks.
Jerks.
Later in the show, you're going to discover how a chest can look like a glands.
You'll be glands that you listened.
That's our t-shirt, our new t-shirt. You'll be glands that you listened.
Well, we have to get rid of the 50,000 t-shirts we have already.
Oh, yeah. How many we've sold so far?
About 403.
Our last trucker episode was super popular with truckers. Now, didn't you set up a CB antenna?
Yes, I did.
Can you tell me, because I'm all the way over here in Japan now, how did you hear anything on the air about our show? Because they must have been talking about us.
There was a lot of punditry. And the general consensus of the gathering was that they were quite fond of it. I think those are the exact words.
The truckers are so kind.
Yeah.
So they didn't bitch about how the diner was very, very loud.
No, they found it okay. Yes, they found it quite distracting. They really, really wanted to focus on what we had to say. Nonetheless, they enjoyed it.
Well, I'm really sorry. You know, now looking back, I can see it was a mistake to put 8 microphones pointing away from our table.
That was silly.
Well, yeah, but I wanted to catch the, you know, I wanted people to know, oh, we're doing this in a truck stop. You know, I wanted the flavor, but I didn't realize it would drown us out.
You could taste the hash, the potato
and
hash.
And they never brought us, by the way, people, we got several tweets about this. No, they never brought us our apple pie.
It's probably because of the way you were dressed. You were dressed in a giant panda outfit.
We got the cold shoulder. You know, it's at times like this when I sit in my chair and lean over into my microphone and I think, I sure would like to run the theme to the next segment.
We are the Super Hosts 2000.
Now, this is the part of the show where you learn a little bit about us. Us!
Well, a little bit about you, because frankly, I'm tired. So you're just going to have to like carry this show. I'm phoning this one in. Literally.
No,
well,
no,
Skyping.
Scott.
I'm Skyping.
No, but Scott. In fact, I'm not even going to mention me. This whole segment, Super Host 2000, should be called Super Host 2000, because we're going to talk about you, Scott.
What? What? No. No, I'm not ready for this.
We're going to talk about you. What? Scott, we want to know all the details of your life.
Is this my life?
Tell me, tell the audience about some of the flyers you've received this week.
I had one from XS Cargo, and they had a nice refurbished Kobe MP3 player, 8 gigabyte, for a reasonable $19.95.
Oh, you want to buzz market Kobe on our podcast? We had to have a discussion ahead of time about that.
You asked me what flyers I received.
Oh, you're right. Go on.
Well, no, that's, now I'm afraid. I don't know. What is wrong with you? Because, like, is it withdrawal or something? Because you have been really testy, and I can't seem to do it. I'm walking on eggshells here. So,
ever since moving to Japan, it's been very difficult because I can't do drugs. You know, when I was in Canada, I was like a stoner.
This is the way you answer the phone. Hey, man, how's it going, man?
Now, if you know me, I didn't do any conventional drugs. I would snort sand from public sandboxes, and I would sometimes smoke a little bit of Comet.
That was his drug of choice.
But now that I live in Japan, drugs are illegal, unlike in Canada. Where
and
you can
cleaning
do anything
supplies.
You can't even get cleaning supplies here. In Japan, they have no, in Japanese, they have no word for cleaning supplies.
That's a fact. Look it up.
Look it up on the internet. Yep. So, you know, I get a little edgy once in a while. You know what I had last night? Here's what I had.
What?
I drank Rolling Stones juice.
What's that? Is that like off of the scrotum of Mick Jagger?
It is a beverage made of grain alcohol, I guess like Colt 45, mixed with lemon lime with fizz. And it's like Rolling Stones alcohol.
That sounds
with the Rolling Stones logo. It's like licensed. Yeah.
It makes you feel like you're 70 years old.
Makes you feel, it's just so bland, just like anything they've done since.
It makes you feel like Brian Jones in a pool.
It's exactly what it tastes like. It's like Brian Jones pool water. Oh, God, is it too soon?
Oh, no. Come on. It's been 60 years.
Don't do the old bait and switch on the audience.
And we're a little bit like Keith and Mick.
Oh, God. I just need some of them little yellow pills. Scott, I know you want to talk about drugs, but what? I think we'd better go on to the subject that most people want to hear, which is about those flyers that you received.
No, let's move it on.
Another thing about you, yep. Scott, is you're a father, and that's pretty much ruling your whole life. You're going to be a father.
Yep. Did you say ruling or ruining?
It's ruining your life. Putting you on the road to ruin. Unfortunately, I'd love to help you out with some Rolling Stones booze, but it's too hard to ship to Canada.
That's true.
So why don't we just go to the next segment, Baby Jerks of the Future.
Babies, jerks of the future. Babies, jerks of the future.
This is the part of the show where I, an expectant father of a lovely baby boy, will answer Ray's biting questions about babies. Neither Ray nor I are baby experts, so our advice should not be followed. Ray has never been a father, will never be a father, as he had his testicles marinated. Ray's never been a father, will never be a father, as he had his testicles marinated in downy and fed to some... Ray's never been a father, will never be a father, as he had his testicles marinated in downy and fed to Snuggle, the fabric softener bear.
Yeah.
So, you know, the funny thing is that you may be a keen listener of this information. Take it in. Take it all in. Apparently, some baby shampoo tested positive for marijuana. So...
What do you mean?
Well, there was baby shampoo,
yeah,
and soaps that were, you know, commonly used can trigger a result of on a newborn's marijuana screening tests. I'm not
Hang
saying.
Hang on a second. I'll be right back. I'll be right back. Hang on.
Right.
Hang
on. So anyway, there's an unusually high number of newborns started testing positive for the marijuana exposure after the soap and the shampoo, including Johnson & Johnson.
I'm back. Look, I just had to go for a second. Did you mention Johnson & Johnson?
Yep.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah, I'll be right back in a second. Okay, you keep doing the show. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Johnson's head-to-toe baby wash, CVS baby wash, baby magic, even the standard hospital gel and soap had the presence of marijuana when tested. It's caused a little bit of a controversy.
Okay, I'm back. Yeah, sorry, I had to go for a second.
Yeah, what were you doing?
Do you mind if I move? I'm going to move this microphone a little bit into the other room. Hang on, just.
Where are you going? What's going on?
Yeah.
What's that sound?
Nothing. I'm just that's my coffee. There's no sound.
It seems kind of.
Grab a ducky, you're the one. You make bath time so much fun. Rubber ducky, I'm mentally in love with you.
Why you really think this is the time to take a bath?
No, I take a bath every podcast.
Wait a minute.
I do most of my podcasts from the bath.
Wait a minute. I just read a story about baby soap and shampoo, and now you're taking it. Okay. We're going to have an intervention.
A lot of podcasters like to get high before their podcast, so, you know, I figured if I can get some of this baby soap going, I can, you know, get a little buzz.
It was part of our agreement that we were not going to use mind-altering chemicals, especially the hard stuff like baby shampoo and soap.
Yeah, okay. Well, let me just pull the plug here.
At least it wasn't bath salts. Makes you eat a hobo. Which, by the way,
apparently, it's just actual bath salts.
No, but did you hear about that? That the guy who they accused of eating the hobo's face because of bath salts, he actually only had marijuana in his blood when they tested it?
It wasn't bath salts?
It wasn't bath salts. He just had the worst case of the munchies ever, apparently.
So don't you think a lot of marijuana advocates have been spending the last couple of weeks saying, see, marijuana's good and these drugs are bad and the war on drugs is starting. And now they're all like, maybe.
Oh my god, you're really far gone. You're babbling incoherently.
I can't even think with all this Johnson's baby shampoo in my head.
You're so scattered.
Why are they testing babies for marijuana? Like, are they lagging behind in their school or work? Or are kids actually smoking pot that they need to test for this?
Well, you know how they try to start them early, right?
Yeah, but if they're checking if the mother... What do you mean start them early?
Well, the babies. Kids are starting to use, you know, it's not like when we were young when, you know, you'd smoke a banana peel or something. Nowadays, they're doing the hard stuff right out of the womb. That's why they're testing them.
The baby comes out and they go straight to a bubble pipe.
Yeah, it's like basically scared straight. They're trying to find out who's the potential for addiction and attack the trouble right then. Save the taxpayer from rehab.
Why wait till
later?
They're teenagers?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, okay.
They're usually a good indication because the baby will have like tattoos and stuff.
I mean, I guess there's a lot of situations where, you know, heavy marijuana users will have a lot of secondhand smoke. You're watching Dora the Explorer or Teletubbies. That's the only way to enjoy those. those shows, other than shampoo, baby shampoo. Oh, this baby shampoo is giving me the munchies.
It's also very, very soft on your skin.
I think I know where there's some homeless people in this town. I'm thinking after the show.
You've got to, you've got to cut down. Taper.
Yeah,
taper down.
Taper.
Taper down. Taper down. Taper down.
I'll try.
You got to distract yourself. You know what you got to do?
Oh,
you
got to come
up with
a
name. You got to distract yourself. Try to help me. I have yet to come up with a name for the boy, so I've got to come up with a name, and I'm having a lot of trouble with that.
Oh, don't worry about that.
Why?
It's okay. I mean, it'll come to you. It'll come to you. You'll think of a name.
Oh my God! Later. I've just Googled like baby name stuff, and there was a story where there's somebody who is offering like a Groupon coupon to name your baby. Yeah, like I'm too busy for coming up with a name for my child. Like what am I? Yeah, like a union member? I don't have the glorious luxury of 15 minute breaks spread out throughout the day to brainstorm names for a kid. Why would I even abdicate this singular task to a faceless corporation in exchange for money?
But
and think someday. You can sit down with the child on your knee and explain how he got his name. The way the grass got cut or the snow got shoveled.
But
do you hear Cats in the Cradle playing in the background?
Well,
no, seriously, do you hear that?
No, but that's not a bad idea. Don't you think? Like some people,
I think that my little soliloquy probably indicated that I thought it was a bad idea.
I'm really sorry to hear that because can we edit that out? Listen, I got you a gift. The reason I was asking you about the flyers before is something should have showed up in the mail. Did you check the mail today?
I did not check the mail today.
Go check the mail. Go check the mail. Okay. While Scott's checking the mail, I bought him this Groupon thing to give him a baby name. I was hoping he wouldn't come up with this. What a coincidence he'd actually mention this subject. Okay, so
oh, thanks. So thanks. I got a coupon.
Yeah. Hey. How's that? What'd you get in the mail, Scott?
Yeah. No. I got a coupon. Basically naming my child. I got a coupon from Groupon.
Yeah, what did they send?
Naming my child Slimer.
I mean, yeah, that's a good name for a boy.
Thanks. It's really exactly what I wanted.
Well, hey, it must be a good name. I mean, this is expertly chosen.
You're right.
And no other kid's going to have this name. That's what's good about this. I mean, you can come up with Todd.
It's as
or
good
Otto.
As. You're right. I mean, it's going to rank right up there with Crystal Pepsi.
You got to use it, right? I mean, this is your gift.
It would be rude.
It
would be rude to not use it.
People think of Slimer, they might think of Ghostbusters, but think of the younger generation won't know what Ghostbusters is. To them, it'll just be, oh, that's a cool name.
Thanks.
What do you think his nickname will be?
Slimer.
What about just, hey, Slimes?
Yeah.
Or Slimy? Slimy would be like the bullies will call him Slimy. His friends will call him Slimes. Hey, Slimes. Lay me some skin, Slimes. Hey, Daddy-O.
Yes, I can just hear the pride when I'm yelling
out
the back door going, hey, Slimer, get in here for dinner. Thanks.
I'm really happy with the way my money was spent. Groupon's great, eh? Oh, always great.
Thanks.
Are we pronouncing it correctly?
It's Slimer.
Slimer.
Your dad is French, so I'll defer to you.
Slimer.
It's now you're making it sound like semen.
No.
Groupon did not.
Groupon
did not name my kid semen.
That's a terrible nickname. No, I think it's actually pronounced the canonical Ghostbusters Slimer. Did you know that they actually don't mention Slimer by name in Ghostbusters?
I did not know that. Maybe I can do
because he
my
says
child.
I just got. And you can.
I can bet
Halloween.
That I will say I just got slimed at some point when I'm changing him. There's definitely
at some point every time.
Yeah, and it does kind of look like slime.
Yeah.
Like, if you've seen the pictures, I was surprised. There's a lot of different textures.
You're going to have to deal with all those different textures when you're a father.
Yeah, I will.
Oh,
I will.
God.
I will.
Oh, hey, speaking of babies, I do have one baby question that's a little personal, but since you're Jewish, you have a Jewish family, so you're not going to circumcise your child, right?
I am not
yourself.
I'm not circumcising myself.
Oh, but so
that was the question I heard.
Scissors for nothing.
You bought rabbinical scissors?
Yeah, for nothing.
Were you going to take the blood off? The way they do it.
Lefty rabbinical scissors.
You know how they do it for the like hardcore Orthodox?
Yeah. You have to hold it in your lips. Well, you can
exactly.
do that yourself.
So
we've all seen that on YouTube. I'll put a link on the show notes to Scott doing that.
Yeah, not going to do that.
It's like a gummy bear.
Okay. Attached
those
to
little
a
apple,
baby.
Those
attached
little apple to a baby. Rings. You know those apple sour apple rings? It's like that.
Okay.
And sour. Foreskins. How do you know about this parenting stuff? Like, where do you read books? Are you reading what parenting books? Dr. Spock?
Yes. And I just finished. I've got my certificate from the prenatal class.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned that in the other podcast.
Yep. So I finished it, and Gold Star. It's like obedient school for parents to be. I didn't pee on the carpet. So that's why I got the gold star.
Good boy.
I know. I learned all kinds of stuff. Perineum massages are very, very important.
Whoa. What's that?
That's your taint.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So
as a father, you have to massage your own taint?
Yeah. It's the only thing that gets you through the labor, apparently.
I know what you mean.
And it's prostate. With olive oil.
What?
Yeah.
Do you mix a little basil in there?
I know. That's what I was thinking. You get a nice, like, a ciabatta, you know, and you sop that up. I think it'd be pretty tasty. So that's basically all I learned.
Well, hang on a second. All you learned is you have to rub your own taint with olive oil.
Pretty well.
You must have learned something else. What about breathing techniques? What about, like, are you going to be there in the delivery room?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
The important thing is, does it really help the baby to be in the delivery room?
I don't think it does.
You should be playing pool, man.
I should not be there. I'm going to be like screaming at people and going, ah, like, oh, yeah.
Look at, think how funny it's going to be when your kid learns that you were playing billiards at the time he was born. Hey, little Slimer.
Well, when I was born, my sister was at an Iron Butterfly concert.
So that's a good story.
So just imagine that. So, you know, like, she didn't get pulled out, but imagine she got pulled out of the Iron Butterfly right in the middle of the, you know, 22nd minute of Inagata Davida. Yeah.
That's a story.
No,
you need something
Dad,
like that. Something Dad, better than
you can't
a pool.
Take me out like now. It's just starting to get good.
I got a place. Laser tag. Dad was at laser tag.
There you go.
While I was being born. It's a funny story. It's better than, oh, Dad was in the room there.
Right.
With the olive oil ready. I don't know what you do. You get the oil and vinegar.
I understand that it comforts the mother if you do that. So that's what I'm going
to
do.
But wouldn't it be more comforting to her to know that you're out having a good time?
Well, I think that, you know, a good perineum massage is pretty good time.
Go-karts.
Dude, if you, why don't I give Dad, you...
No, they have indoor go-karting.
Stop the bath. Go into your kitchen, get some olive oil, and, you know, taint lion is all I'm saying. Try it out.
Extra virgin, baby. Should I use, like, a balsamic vinaigrette?
Might sting.
What about Thousand Island?
But balsamic might be good.
Ranch. Balsamic. Yeah.
It might be a little ranchy.
Actually, I always smell like ranch anyway, so it's perfect. How do you know it's true? Well, wrestling, we used to wrestle. Scott and I used to wrestle a lot. Professionally.
Yes.
We were not publicly, but professionally in an old man's living room.
That's right.
We'll talk about that some other time.
In seniors' residence.
Yeah.
There's a big circuit in the Ottawa area for that. Ever since Maple Leaf Wrestling ended.
It's volunteer.
Yeah. Man enjoying man entertaining.
Do you remember my wrestling name?
You were the Mongolian Drumstick.
Oh, yeah. Mongolian Drumstick. And your name? Cumstorm. I think that was your name.
Not sure that was my name.
Or was that your American Gladiator's name? I was really good at holding a belt over my head.
Yes, you were. Like, I remember when we attacked those Cub Scout leaders. They were trying to tie knots. Go ahead. What's next?
We need to talk about your babies down below. Because, well, look at, you have to make a choice as a parent about your boy's special thingy.
And whether to discuss it on the air, is that what you mean?
Well, because, look, you're Jewish.
I'm not.
And your wife is Jewish. Really?
And she's not, and she's not.
I always thought you were Jewish.
No, I'm just, you know.
But you seem Jewish.
I do complain about it being drafty, but I'm not Jewish.
Okay, you sure? Your dad's
pretty
Jewish,
sure.
Isn't he? Isn't your dad Jewish?
No, my father isn't.
Your sister?
No, we're same family.
So you're not going to do the circumcision thing?
No.
Circumcision.
I'm definitely not going to do that. I mean, it really hurts. There was a picture in the prenatal class about that, and it looked like a dog penis. Like, you know that little red thing that comes out?
Red rocket.
Yeah. It was horrible. Imagine that's like a 2-day-old baby. I was like, not going to happen on my watch.
No way. Protect that wiener.
Yeah.
Well, in Zimbabwe, 44 members of the parliament were circumcised on Friday.
Whoa. That, yeah. You know how much that hurts when you're old? Like, when you're a baby, it's bad. Of course, it's terrible. But when you're old, oh, man.
Maybe it hurts less.
I've heard it's just brutal. Like, you can't, like, it's weeks and weeks and weeks of awful pain.
Well, do you know why they did this?
They all converted to Judaism?
No, they were trying to reupholster a sofa.
Oh, that's weird.
No, wait. Breaking news.
Oh, wait, they did convert to Jews.
Because if you...
With their foreskin? They were fighting off AIDS with their foreskin? Seems like they might try, like, a drug cocktail or something like that. Like, it seems like a really bad...
No. The band The Who?
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry. The World Health Organization. They've shown that male circumcision can reduce a man's risk of getting HIV up to 60%.
Right, because you're hurting so much, your balls hurt so much that you can't have the sex.
You're never going to put it into anybody.
That's right. You're being like, I can't. Yeah. It hurts. So, oh, look at the...
Don't touch it.
Yeah. Like, can I get another bag of peas? Frozen peas, please.
So they did this thing to encourage people to have unprotected sex.
Yeah, that might be like the... Why didn't they just have them all put on condoms in the parliament? Wouldn't that have made a lot more sense?
Or just put a twist tie in the end of it, like most of us do.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. Save on condoms. Yeah. Use a twist tie.
Yeah. The Catholic Church can't have a problem with that, can they?
Doesn't mention anything about zip ties, twist ties, or vinyl tie wraps in the Bible.
I am going to go out on a...
They do mention, Jesus did mention hose clamps. It's a sin. So anyway, this is what happened in Zimbabwe. We're going to talk a lot about foreskins today because when I was researching this article, really deeply researching this article, I found out about Foreskin Man.
What?
Foreskin Man is a superhero. A cartoonist made a comic book. This guy called Matthew Hess to warn people about not getting a circumcision. Don't circumcise children because Foreskin Man is going to explain why. And it's very... if you look at the cartoon,
yeah,
you're going to see a lot of stereotypical Jewish... rabbis.
What?
With big, sharp Jewish rabbis, yeah.
No,
with big, sharp teeth. And, you know, it looks like a Nazi tract or jacked tract.
Did you read about the German parliament basically saying that circumcision was mutilation and they banned it? Because the publisher is the Male Genital Mutilation Bill Comics. It seems really odd.
Wow. Oh, yeah. You're right.
It's really strange.
You know, you're really limiting your what kind of comics you're going to make when you call your publishing Male Genital Mutilation Bill Comics.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
What if you want to do a spin-off and just do something like Archie?
I want to see more of these, I want to see the drawings.
Yeah, it's pretty fabulous. Fabulously anti-Semitic.
Where are they? I can't find any.
Oh, just search for Foreskin Man, but be careful.
Yeah. I will.
I'll post a link to the Wikipedia article so people can make their own decision about Foreskin Man. But the amazing thing about Foreskin Man is his costume. He has a symbol on his chest, a round symbol that shows the head of a penis with a
Dr. Mutilator, Monster Mole. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
But his chest, look at this picture. His chest has like the indent. What do you call that? Your solar plexus? That indent is exactly where the glands of the penis would be. So it's very clever. Foreskin Man.
Clever. That's the word. That's right.
Foreskin Man, read it, learn it, love it.
Oh my God, they really are.
You should get a poster. You can order a poster.
This is craziness.
For your child's bedroom.
They got basically evil black people and evil Jewish looking people. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's not subtle.
And all the obviously hero guys are like blonde hair,
blonde white folks.
Man, this is crazy.
Foreskin Man.
I think the premise is fine. Like, I think that it wouldn't be a big deal to have a comic about a foreskin guy.
Yeah, a guy who rescues children from circumcision.
Yeah,
but-
like. You know, the circus of the penis or whatever it's called, where the guy like contorts the penis. He could be
I
like
can't
that
wait
to save.
To see how racist the episode is where he goes to Zimbabwe.
Yeah. Aided by his power of his technologically advanced plasma boots, Foreskin Man flies above the city to hunt down criminals who cut the genitals of innocent boys.
Is his superpower come from his plasma boots or from his belonging to the master race?
I don't know.
So anyway, what we're saying is we fully support everything that Foreskin Man says.
He's basically like He-Man, though. But you know what? The thing that we should take away that is that, you know, clean genitals are important. Like, for instance, what if you could go to a nightclub where your genitals are constantly being cleaned?
You mean like a regular nightclub? Hang on a second. Why don't we go to the next section? Because we should go to the next... Run the theme!
News from the year 2080.
Okay, Scott, now tell me about this place where they clean your genitals all the time. That sounds like something from the future. A nightclub?
Oh, yeah, it's a nightclub in New York City. Well, you know, there's a million stories in Naked City, or the Speedoed City, in this case.
Yeah.
And they are, basically, it's an underwater nightclub.
I'm looking at this right now. Yeah. Oh, there's a video. You got to check this out. Oh, it's kind of like, it seems like a commercial, though. But they really did this.
Oh, yeah. And the original sketches, I think, really convey what's going on.
Yeah, it really is.
That's futuristic.
That's a great sketch. So they have diving helmets and they're drinking pressurized drinks through hoses.
Just like the future, underwater.
That's pretty futuristic.
That is.
There's not much we can say about it, except you got to check out the video on the show notes.
Yeah.
Definitely look at that. It does clean your you would have
but,
very
but
clean
you know, genitals. You know what you should do, though, is make sure that before you go night clubbing, make sure it's at least 2 hours after you've eaten. Especially
is that really true?
Yeah, especially if you've eaten a deep fried cereal.
What are you talking about? Well, deep fried cereal.
Well, there's been a new offering called deep fried cereals made with Trix and Cinnamon Toast Crunch at the San Diego Fair.
What country? Yeah, I was going to say. Is it any good? Deep fried cereal.
Oh, I haven't had it.
Isn't cereal already deep fried?
No.
Honeycomb?
Well, maybe in Japan. I mean, everything's tempura, right?
Actually, here's the sad state of affairs in Japan for cereal. You go to the cereal section, they have cornflakes, they have frosted flakes, they have Rice Krispies.
What? They have not got cereal technology yet?
They've got two cereals, if you can count frosted flakes as a separate cereal, because you can basically modify cornflakes to be frosted flakes.
Yeah, of course.
That's it. That's their cereal selection.
Do you not see a gap in the marketplace, like an opening to exploit?
I'm sure someone's tried it.
Why don't you get your father-in-law to do that?
We had Pokemon cereal in Canada.
Yeah, but why don't you get your father-in-law to create a new line of cereals?
Oh, right. He could manufacture.
Yeah. How big would that be? Hello Kitty cereal in Japan?
Well, I think, you know.
I'm.
And look, I just looked it up. Kellogg's has a Hello Kitty cereal already.
Whoa, really?
But not in Japan. You know what it could be? In Canadian supermarkets, you pretty much need a whole aisle just for cereal.
Oh,
like one side of a whole aisle. Well, they need to clear out. They need, you know, our supermarkets aren't as big. They need to clear out some other kind of food. Get rid of all the rice and just have.
It's kind of racist.
Deep fried. Are you going to try deep fried cereal?
Well, it's a little bit like saying trying Hello Kitty cereal in Japan, right? Like, I can't.
Right, they don't have it in Canada.
Yeah.
I wish I had my own
deep fryer. We just don't have the heart-clogging technology that they have in the States.
And since you're going to have a
kid, that's the ingenuity. I mean, that's really, that's what they've really mastered that kind of industry, don't you think?
But don't you think every country deep-fries something?
Like what?
But not cereal. Well, in Japan, we have tempura. That's deep-fried everything.
That's true. I used to deep-fry my cigarettes.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty unhealthy. I hope you quit doing that.
I did.
Okay, yeah. Even Antarctica, they deep fry penguin meat. Did we get any feedback about our penguin rape story?
Nobody cares.
What about on this? Really?
Nobody cares about penguin rape.
Okay, well, hey, listen, if I had $1 million, you know what I'd do? I would buy a deep fryer and I would deep fry anything I could think of. This calculator. I would take a whole bunch of baby shampoo and pour it straight into the deep fryer.
So that's what you do if you had $1 million. But what happens if you had 1.5 million?
I don't know what I'd do. I'd go nuts for lack of ideas.
Dude, some dude in the U.S. his bank machine allowed him to take out $1.5 million, and he lost it all gambling.
There was just money in his account, or he just kinda...
There was some kind of a mistake, and so he just kept taking it out and losing it at a casino.
Oh, he was overdrawing his account. Like, it just allowed him to keep overdrawing.
I think that when you go from... the reality, he only had $300 in his checking account.
Right,
When it's $1.5 million, you're not overdrawn. Like, that's... The prosecutor said his crime was a lapse of judgment. So, and they placed the blame with the Bank of America for allowing the withdrawals to take place.
But don't you think, if you were the Bank of America, wouldn't you let him keep taking it out until he wins all the money back?
But you mean double down?
I mean,
down.
Eventually he's going to win. I don't know gambling terms, but I assume double down is the correct thing to do.
Also a deep fried product from Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, back to it all. This whole podcast.
It's a circle of heart clogging life.
It is.
It's like circle of death. Some people do if they got 1.5 million, is they would blow it all gambling. Man.
If that guy was really smart, what he would do is keep most of the money in a pillow, pretend to gamble it and say, oh, I lost all my money. And then 2 years later, declare bankruptcy 2 years later, just happen to have $1.4 million lying around.
Well, he might not remember it. He could have been hypnotized.
Okay. There was a mass hypnosis. And now, watermelon. Scott, are you okay?
Where am I? Whoa.
You were making some funny animal noises.
I was?
Yep. When we were in high school, we hypnotized you, and I think you just finally snapped out of it. Oh. I'm really surprised you haven't heard the word watermelon for so long. Watermelon. Scott, never mind. So there's a private school in Quebec, and these 12 and 13 year old girls got hypnotized, and the guy leaves them in a trance for 5 hours. Huh. But he was like, no, it was a cool trance. They weren't stressed out or anything. It was kind of fun.
Yeah.
But parents are outraged.
But he said he didn't make them do anything, right?
He didn't make them do anything.
So what were they, just like face down? Okay, there were a couple of students that were in trance, but you once did one of those circus kind of things, right? You got up on stage and
I did. Like, Mike Mandel and the Muffin.
Anyway,
in the late 80s, yeah. And hypnotized me. I went up on stage they do like an audience selection thing where he's like, okay, I'm going to hypnotize everybody and then I'm going to point at people that are not hypnotized and you got to go back to the audience. So I think they started with about 30 people and they hypnotized, and people got singled out, go back. I was one of the people that remained. I think there was about 8 of us that remained.
Okay.
And he had us do all kinds of crazy stuff. I was falling asleep in my chair, and apparently the audience was laughing because I was sliding out of my chair onto the floor, and then I was just suspended by my neck. I do not remember that at all.
I thought you told me that you couldn't be hypnotized.
I could. Oh, I don't think it's even real, but I mean, it worked on me.
But the story I remember was that you said that you're incapable of being hypnotized, and then when the guy did this, nothing happened, and he basically was like, "You're faking it!" And he freaked out, and then Mike Mandel freaked out on you, and then Howie beat you up. Then Howie came in, beat you up, pissed on you, and went, took off his mustache, said, "I'm Howie Mandel."
That's pretty much how it went.
You've got two stories, and I don't know which one's real.
Okay, that part's not real. The real part of the story was I was pretending to be
a
roller coaster.
So you're a total patsy. You've got no willpower.
I'm weak-minded.
You are weak-minded.
One of the guys was kind of a muscular jock dude, and of course I was a skinny little runt.
Did you do something with him?
No, we did like a muscle pose down on stage.
Yeah, but that was pretty common for you. Yeah, you were paying your way through college.
That's what you got to do. You know, we were practicing for a wrestling career at seniors' homes. Oh, Foreskin, man, why can't you save me from this podcast? Speaking of mass hypnosis, did you know that marriage is, in a way, mass hypnosis? When you get married, I don't know if you remembered you're getting married. It's been quite a while.
Like weeks.
Yes. The minister, he's a little bit like a Mike Mandel.
You're right.
Hypnotizing you. And, you know, when you put on the ring and do that ceremony, it's kind of like a hypnosis that makes you believe in marriage. And I was just wondering if that could lead us into our next segment somehow.
I would agree and then he beat me up and peed on me, and he had me repeat things that I don't really know what exactly I was saying. It is very much like a hypnosis. It's all the fog.
Scott just got married recently, but I'm a grizzled veteran in the nuptial world.
I would like wars, nuptial wars.
Not wars, Scott. This is why you need my advice.
Oh, I am open and willing to accept your marital aids.
And I'm ready and able to deliver my load of helpful advice.
This is what we call marital aids.
Marital aids, no techie vibrating device. Marital aids, good marriage advice.
So I'll just tell you a little bit of my background. I am married.
I know that. Oh, you mean for the listener, sorry.
I'm married. I'm happily married. And if you want to know about having a happy marriage, I'm the guy to ask.
All right. Every Friday, I kind of like to go for a couple of drinks, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the boys.
Boys.
And the little lady, she don't really like it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not really sure how to deal with that.
She doesn't like you going out on Friday nights. And leaving her alone while you drink with the fellas.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm saying.
And sometimes I wash the sink. Sometimes I mop the floor on Friday nights. You know, that might be helpful with your marriage.
Okay. I hadn't thought of that as an option.
Yeah, I mean, it's something to consider as an option.
Okay.
And then just don't go out drinking. And then, you know, you just don't.
Right.
Other people can drink, and then they can talk about you while you're out. Okay, look, if you actually do want to go out, what you need to do is trick your wife.
Like hypnotize her?
That's what I was thinking. Has she been hypnotized before? Some people can't be.
Yeah, I know. I haven't heard her quack like a duck for that matter.
What I recommend is, here's what you should do. Sit her down in a chair, preferably a stool, and get the
Tie her up and run out and go to the bar.
No. Listen.
Oh, sorry. See, I'm new at this. I don't know how it works.
Take the dictionary. And read every word.
And hit her on the head with it because it won't leave any bruises.
No. Scott, this is why you need my aid. Oh. You've got to read each word in the dictionary to see if that triggers a response from a previous hypnosis session. And then you can find out if she can be hypnotized or not. Have you suggested that, because this is something that worked for me, is that when I want to go out, I'll come up with something else that she can do that is similar but different. For example, if I, let's say, oh, I want to go out and go bowling with my friend Barney, I will... I got a friend, Barney, probably.
Yeah.
I'll come up with a similar thing that
it's
she
a very
can do,
common like, name in Japan.
I'll suggest, hey, why don't you call up your friend, Betty, and go play darts? Another thing you might want to consider is picking up a case of baby shampoo.
That is actually a really good idea.
Yeah.
And I can see that I'll probably need to buy some.
Marital problems. What else you got?
She goes through a lot of toilet paper. Like, women... They go through it all the time, but they never change the roll. What do I do about that? It's annoying. I've thought about just taking all the toilet paper, taking it out of the bathroom, and taking anything that wipeable out, and just show her, right? Like, so then I'd be like, aha, see? That'll show you for not changing it.
No. You can't do that.
No?
Well, you can, if you want her to change the toilet paper roll, it has to be done through positivity. Because once in a while, she will change the roll. Is that true? Does she sometimes do it? Like, rarely?
Well, I guess so. Like, I'm not there all the time. So, yeah. Whenever I go to use it, it's always like, there's a square left.
Do you mind spending a little bit of money to fix this problem?
Like what? Having an attendant there?
Well, okay, you need two things. Number one, you need a hidden video camera. And you don't have to, this doesn't have to be disgusting. You could actually have it just pointing at the toilet paper roll. You don't have to film the whole bathroom.
Okay.
You do that. And that's about probably $40 now you can get a little hidden video camera. Mm-hmm. And the second part is you got to go to Tiffany's and pick up some little treat. You know, pick up a little necklace or a, you know, bracelet, something like that. You keep watching, and then when she does change the toilet paper roll, you reward her with jewelry.
Seems really, you think you should be using that, like, that much of a carrot?
Look, you don't have to tell her that's why she's getting it. She just happens to get, oh, look, surprise, you got some jewelry. Then every time she changes the toilet paper, subconsciously, she's going to start changing the toilet paper more.
But I'm buying her jewelry every time she changes the toilet paper?
Well, you buy ahead of time, so you have them all stored up in your closet. Sooner or later, she's going to start just replacing those toilet paper rolls on her own.
Okay, I got another related or separate and completely unrelated question. My wife is bankrupting me with jewelry costs for toilet paper.
Well, what's the minimum gift you could get that you think she'd respond to? Because my wife, it's got to be Tiffany's.
Since we're in the first year, then shouldn't it be paper? Like maybe I give her like toilet paper?
Oh, like little origami things.
Sure. Or just throw toilet paper.
No. What about, I guess you have to think about what the minimum thing you want to...
I could wrap myself in toilet paper like a toga and do a revealing dance or rip it off of me. Arr!
That would save money and it would probably make her very happy.
I'm sure. She'd probably enjoy that.
She's going to be so happy. Hey, I love it.
You know what? That would really work well in Japan. That brings us to the topic of the man in Japan.
That's me.
Japan. This is the part of the show where I ask Ray about futuristic life in futuristic Japan.
So in Tokyo, there was a guy who was groping on the train. I should say he's a suspect. Very common.
I got groped.
Okay. Did you?
Yep.
Did you fight back?
I liked it.
Was it by a man or a woman?
I don't care. I was feeling like an absence of connection. So it came at the right time. What can I say?
Sometimes I get groped on the train and it's a real relief because sometimes I'm kind of itchy.
Sure, it's a real
scratch
relief
down there. So you know. It's good.
Yeah, it's cheaper than a rub and tug.
Or just a scratch.
Scratch and itch.
I'm like a baseball player in many ways.
You are.
So anyway, this guy got brought to the police station. So they have these little mini police stations called a Koban. So it's like a little police house. They're all over the place.
That's
so
like Koban?
Koban, yes.
It's like where Kobe... What does that make you think of? Well, it makes me think of Kobe Bryant. They're like
everything makes me think of Kobe Bryant.
I know. Anyway, continue.
So anyway, they brought this guy into the station. And they said, hey, why don't you wait in the back room for a while? We'll be right back. And guess what? He walked out the back door. There was no officer on duty at the time.
He said duty.
The guy just left. I know. Okay, some of you listeners may be thinking, that's the worst Man in Japan story of all time. But, Scott, you sent me this amazing story about the most expensive moisture cream of all time.
I did.
This cream cost the equivalent of $13,000.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Maybe you should start getting your wife moisturizer.
It's more expensive than gold. You're right. She would use it in the bathroom.
And then she'd maybe mentally associate with the toilet paper thing?
Yeah, it's like $13,000 for like less than 2 ounces, like 50 gram jar.
You better hurry up because there's only three bottles made, three jars.
Is that right? I didn't read that. Well,
how much would you spend for a jar of moisturizer?
I think, you know what? I think that if you spend that much money, you're going to say it's good. There is somebody who may need some moisturizing.
What are you talking about? Oh yeah. So
and this is totally on top. This is on topic. This is Japanese. This is like one of their highest cultural symbols.
Yes, the penis.
No.
So this guy. What are we talking about? What about some?
Well, yes, but he. It's more than that. It's the lopping off of.
Oh yeah.
Kind of
in Japan,
spoiler alert.
They love chopping things. In the Edo period, they chopped off a lot of heads.
Yeah, you've heard about the Yakuza where they cut off their pinky.
Cut off the finger. You're right.
So
this is a dismemberment country. We love chopping.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy in Tokyo a couple of months ago chopped off his wiener and his little meatballs, and he froze them for a couple of months, and in May he served them to the public. Who knew about it? The diners knew about it. They paid $250 and they ate his wiener and beans.
Wow.
And so now the police are like, we're gonna charge this guy because he was involved in the display of obscene objects. Now this is Japan we're talking about.
But maybe he pixelated the food before serving it.
I mean, yeah. Isn't that the same as putting, like if you put your testicles in a meat grinder, it's the same as putting pixels on it.
I would think
that. I mean, you can't really see the details. Like, for example, if I were to send you a porno movie made by myself.
You mean you made it by yourself or made and you're by yourself? That's a
by myself. Me in a camera. Me in a camera, okay? In front of my member, I just took a clump of ground beef and just held it there in front. You would say that's censored enough, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's basically the same thing this guy is doing. If you grind up the genitals, I think that should be sufficient, legally the same as converting them to pixels.
But who are these people paying to eat the guy's testicles? And who, I don't know if you saw the key thing, he said his genitals were removed by a physician. What about the Hippocratic Oath? Do they not have that there? Like,
hey,
they shall do no harm?
Well, the thing is, people eat placenta when they have a baby, so it's very similar. It's just
who
California. I think everybody in California does that.
Those are people who should lop off their penis.
Look, it's perfectly sanitary. The thing that upsets me about this is I would never pay $250 for that.
You've had in your mouth for a lot less.
Hey, whoa, we don't use that language in this podcast. Hey, not that there's anything wrong with that, listeners. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And, oh, you know what? I really miss having the soup talk segment because this would be a great time to talk about soup.
Oh, there would be some definite.
You know what? We're going to talk about soup.
You make soup out of this?
It's soup talk. It's soup talk. Soup talk. Let's talk about soup.
Ray likes all soup. It's a fact. I can prove it.
Oh, yeah? Well, prove it.
You wanted to talk about, you must have some serious soup talk that you want to get in because
we didn't even
put it on the show plan and you're throwing it in here. So what'd you got to say about soup?
This soup talk is going to change your life. It's going to change my life.
Okay.
It's really personal. I don't know if the listeners can hear about this. Like this is some serious talk about soup. I think we should end the show.
I don't want to offend any kind of regulatory agencies in either country. So I think it'd be better if we don't have the oral, and I mean A-U-R-A-L, equivalent of the Janet Jackson episode at the Super Bowl. Happen.
Yeah, we
so
better not talk.
We
this
better
is
not
too,
do. It's probably better.
It's too hot to handle. It's too cold to hold.
Yeah, and we can maybe we'll upload it later if it's not Yeah, too hot. We'll see you back to the future.
Back.